The reading is from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 13 and reading down to verse 18. It can be found on page 1188 of the Church Bibles. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand for our gospel reading, which this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 to 13, which you'll find on page 994 of the Pew Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We remain standing now for the creed. Together we affirm our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated, and I invite Hamish to come and share God's word with us.
Shall we pray? Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see Jesus. May your Holy Spirit move in our midst. And we pray that we will respond to your word. As you stir our hearts, we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. We've been looking for the last few weeks at 1 Thessalonians, and today we're going to be thinking about hope. Now, we need to be clear as to what the word hope actually means. We often use the word loosely to mean what we wish for, what we're not really absolutely sure about, but we just hope that it might happen. But the New Testament word hope means certainty and assurance. Christian hope in the Bible is something that one can be absolutely certain about. Now, Paul is anxious in this letter to the Thessalonians that they be certain about their faith. They are a great church. And on the whole, their faith was strong. But there were certain areas that they were not as certain as Paul thought they should be. And one of these was regarding Jesus' second coming. Elizabeth read that reading about the second coming, and the gospel reading was, of course, related to ideas of the second coming as well. The Thessalonians rightly understood that Christ was going to return. In fact, they expected him very soon. They thought that Jesus had just gone back to heaven just to get things ready and would be back within their lifetime. They were suffering from their faith in their church, but willing to suffer because they knew Jesus was going to come back and triumph and put things straight very soon. But there was no sign so far of Jesus coming back. The years were passing, and several of their fellow believers had died in the meantime, and doubts and questions were beginning to fill their minds. What will happen to our loved ones who've died before Christ returns? Will they miss out on the resurrection? And what about those who will be alive when Christ returns? So they had several questions in their mind, and therefore they were not filled with the hope and certainty that Paul wanted them to be filled with. So this letter is one in which Paul reiterates the future hope we have in Jesus Christ, despite difficult circumstances we might currently be facing. This is good news. God provides hope in a hopeless world. What does Paul say is the substance of Christian hope? Well, I've got 2 points this morning. They're really the same. I'm just rewording them a bit, so you get 2 for the price of 1. The first point is that Christ is our hope for the future. Christ is our hope for the future. Paul says that the Lord will come down from heaven in verse 16 of the reading. The Thessalonians, as I've said, we're having a rough time, both from the Jews and Roman authorities, to the extent of many of them being tortured, and some had even died for their faith. The Thessalonians needed something to hold on to, some certainty about the future that would give them strength and courage to live in the present. Jesus had promised to come back, especially in his teachings recorded in John's Gospel and his assurances after his resurrection. The basis for hope in Christ is that he would do what he had promised. Paul says in verse 14 that Jesus died and rose again as he had predicted. He had kept these promises, so we can be certain that he will keep his promise to return again. Things might be going badly for the Thessalonians, but they can trust in a Lord who keeps his promises and had said clearly that he would be back. Things might appear to be going badly in our world as well. Just listen to the news. It can be quite depressing. Things seem to be getting worse, not better, in our world. Strife and conflict are everywhere. We're thinking today of those who died in the dreadful world wars of the 20th century. But on a lesser scale, the same conflicts and suffering are going on today, and the future appears bleak and just more of the same. When Christ comes back, it will be different from the first time he came at Advent. This time he'll be coming back in triumph and victory to reign forever and ever. He will be worshipped by all creation. It will be wall-to-wall praise, more inspiring than any worship we've ever known. The book of Revelation, which was also written in a time of great persecution, gives some visions of this new heaven and new earth, the endless worship of the Lamb, for the Lord Almighty reigns. As some of you might know, I'm a great lover of art, and I do remember seeing one of my favorite paintings, The Adoration of the Lamb by Van Eyck in St. Bavo's Cathedral in Ghent in Belgium. When I went there, they charged you, I think, the equivalent of £1 to see this one picture, which I didn't think, as a Scotsman, was really good value for money. But it was a marvelous painting of the vision of Christ as the Lamb of God being worshipped by all creation. I think I spent about 2 hours looking at this one painting, which is got several parts to it. It's a massive thing. And of course, the real thing will be much better than any painting. So Christ is our hope for the future. And secondly, our hope for the future is in Christ. It's just rewording it, really. Our hope for the future is in Christ. I'm just emphasizing, in a sense, that we are part of the future in Christ. Paul says that this is not something which only involves Christ. We are involved as well. Christ is coming back to reign, yes, but Christ, he says, is also coming back for us so that we will reign with him forever and ever. Paul doesn't know all the details. Neither do we need to know the details. But he assures us that Christ will return for those who are alive at the time and equally for those who have died already. Both are equally part of the scene. The Thessalonians had been worried about those who were dying daily for their faith. Would they miss out? As Christ was coming back soon, any day. Obviously now 2,000 years have passed, and there are a vast horde of believers who have died. And Paul says we can be assured that they will all be part of the final triumph. Paul gives us this information, he says, so that we can encourage one another. These are very important words towards the end of this passage. We are told all these things so that we can encourage one another. This is as true today as in New Testament times. We had a service of remembering here last Sunday when we thanked God for those whom we know who have died and took comfort in the knowledge that their life in Christ goes on and will go on. Death does not separate us from Christ. Our relationship with him spans death and will go on into eternity. So let us remember today that Christ is our hope for the future. And our hope for the future is in Christ. Paul declares that we will be with the Lord forever. This is the great news that a hopeless world needs. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Hamish, for that great encouragement. Please stand, an opportunity now to share in the work of the kingdom by giving money as we collect our offering and I prepare our table. So let's stand together. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth consume, and where thieves do not break in and steal. All things come from you, O Lord, and of your own have we given you.